The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. Okay, so here we go. For the audio recorder, rather than just the video recorder, just to mention that tonight I'm going to talk about curiosity, investigation, questioning. And to say, and to distinguish it just from thinking, or to distinguish it from speculating. So, yes, it is a mental process, it's a movement of the mind, but it's not the same as just trying to figure something out. And it's not the same as trying to predict what's going to happen in the future precisely. We might have a lot of experience with this. We might spend a lot of our time doing thinking and or speculating. And we might have this idea that in our meditation practice that we shouldn't be thinking, and thinking's a problem. Whether that thinking is memories or speculating or fantasizing about the future or just trying to figure things out, problem solving. We might have this idea that all those different types of thinking are problematic, and we might somehow, maybe even without really being so aware of it, we might kind of throw inquiry or curiosity into the same bucket as thinking, and therefore think that we shouldn't have a sense of inquiry in our meditation practice. Those of you who are listening to the guided meditation, I was offering things like, what is this? Or what does this feel like? Or what is this experience? Not so much that we have to figure it out again, but more as a way of having some open-heartedness, some warm-heartedness to our experience. So, because we might have the idea that we spend too much time in our heads, and when we're meditating or perhaps in our daily life, we might feel like, oh, there shouldn't be any curiosity or investigation or inquiry. But the type of inquiry I'm pointing to is kind of like a sensing with the body, a sensing with the heart, as well as sensing with the mind. We could use this word sensing. We could also use this word like opening up to the experience. Opening all our senses, including the mind, of course. And so that's one way to think about the inquiry or the investigation. But one way to think about it also as investigation or questioning as intimacy. It's a way of which our attention, our mindfulness draws close to the experience, in which we kind of like touch and connect with the experience. What is this? There's a way in which we might metaphorically, you know, like bring our attention and peer at the experience and kind of really connect with it and be with it, as opposed to in some abstract way being with our experience, where we are more with the idea of what's happening and less with the felt sense of it. So, a way of like, what actually is going on here, as opposed to my idea about it. And also, part of investigation, is a type of intimacy with our experience, but it's also a way in which we can differentiate different aspects of our experience. Sometimes if it might just feel like a big knot, a big uncomfortable, terrible knot in some kind of way. And usually when we have those ideas, there might be a feeling of overwhelm or wanting to shy away from, turn away from. But an investigation is which a way in which we can, like, what's really going on here? We can start to see, oh yeah, okay, so here's anger, but right? There's also a feeling of being hurt, or also a feeling of sadness. Before, it might have just felt amorphous, or maybe it was just big and black, but once we start to tease apart the different elements, sadness, anger, feeling hurt, for example, or we could also tease apart, yeah, I have this pressure in my mind, these recurring thoughts that I'm just like repeating over and over, I should have said this, I can't believe this person said that. I remember one time when I was, it's quite some time ago, but when I was really angry, and then it just like takes over, right? The kind of the mind, and just this going around and around, how dare they, how dare they, I can't believe it, don't they know who I am? You know, some version of that. I guess, you know, for me, that was what the one I'm bringing to mind. You might have your own version of that. And I was completely disconnected in the experience of the body, of the heat rising and my voice getting louder, you know, these types of things. But if we can bring a little bit of investigation, like what's going on, and to tease apart the different elements, maybe the different emotions, tease apart the different experiences, what's happening in the mind, what's happening in the body, then it seems like that is a little bit more manageable. So it seems like, oh, okay, I can just work with this. I can work with the experience in the body, or I can be with the feeling of being hurt, the feeling of not being seen, or whatever is whatever the experience might be. So in this way, investigation really can also be a way in which it can help us differentiate or distinguish or notice all the different elements that are there. Sometimes when there's a sense of hurt, there can be a collapsing of our attention onto just that particular thing that is uncomfortable. So investigation, as I said, is kind of like an opening up. What else is going on? What are all the senses happening? Sometimes it can be really helpful to bring our attention to listening or hearing, for example, just because often sounds are neutral. So when we're in the feeling of, oh, this is too much, maybe it can be some curiosity about, well, what else is going on? There might be some sounds, there might be a neutral pressure of the chair or feeling the feet on the ground. It can also, if we investigate, we might discover that not only are there sounds or other bodily experiences, we might also notice that there are some underlying beliefs or some assumptions that are underneath and somehow fueling or supporting the experience. In order to be a good person, I should never feel anger. Or if that person cared about me, they would never say something like that. Or that person only says that because they are X, Y, or Z, or whatever it might be. We might have some not even fully articulated thoughts, but ways, these underlying beliefs that might show up that are creating the foundation or setting up the whole infrastructure in which we might be experiencing whatever it is we're experiencing. Maybe we have the belief that meditation should always be pleasant. And if it's not pleasant, I'm doing something wrong. Or it's somebody's fault. So that can be part of investigation too. Or is, do I have some underlying beliefs? Do I have some assumptions? Do I have some quiet thoughts? There might be little whispers of thoughts that are persistent yet subtle. Of course, with investigation, we might also discover that there are some resources to us. That is, yes, there might be a sense of energy in the body, like a sense of aliveness and vitality. That can be a resource for us. That can be a sense of, okay, I have some energy. I can take care of some of what needs to be taken care of. I can say the things that need to be said, or I can use some of my energy to investigate some of these other things. Or with investigation, we might find, okay, so I do feel grounded or settled in the body. Maybe the mind is going quickly or something, but where there might be a sense of openness or warmth. Or so with investigation, we can discover not only what's underneath or what's happening at the same time, but also some things that can be a support for us. And so in this way, investigating itself might bring some vitality, might bring some energy, might bring some dynamism into our experience. This can be especially important if we're feeling stuck, if we're feeling numb, if we're feeling closed off. Sometimes there's this expression called a sinking mind. That is when the body might have a certain amount of settledness, but the mind can kind of like get settled into a cottony, fluffy, vague place, but there's no energy there. And kind of after at the end of the meditation, there might be a feeling of being drained and wanting to take a nap after having just meditated, or a feeling of it's a dead end or like not going anywhere. But investigation, just like that simple inquiry, oh, what is this? Can bring a little bit more energy in. Can bring some vitality in. As opposed to a feeling that meditation is just a way to become numb or hide from our experience. Instead, it can be a way in which we can bring some energy, some sense of, okay, well, what's next? A way that it can like counteract any inertia we might have, this sinking in, or maybe just inertia in a bigger sense, not only that particular meditation period, but a sense of inertia in our practice as a whole. Like, okay, I'm meditating every day, but where's this going in terms of, I feel stuck, like it's, I'm not feeling like it's going forward or bringing some learning or bringing some greater ease, or there may be a certain passivity in our meditation in which we just kind of just passively being with whatever's there, but not more in like a turtle way that we just kind of like pull in, and or maybe in a way that we're white knuckling. But some warm-hearted curiosity is a way which can bring some aliveness to our practice. I'll say that when I was a research scientist, it's one of my favorite things to do was to have this a sense of investigation and the kind of the vitality. And for me, I felt like so lucky that I could have this question. And then just the way that my life was at that time, that then to go into the laboratory and, you know, do an experiment and answer questions, or make, as was often the case for me, just come up with more questions. And so not so much that we have to be research scientists and that we have to figure it out precisely, but there can be a sense of figuring it out precisely, but also just an attitude or a stance of kind of like maybe how a naturalist might be observing the way that some animal behaves, or maybe the way that plants grow or bloom or something like this. Hopefully in a way that brings like some delight or brings some, I like this word, vitality, to the act of curiosity. And also curiosity often is, for me, is associated with childhood, you know, being curious, not only in my, how I used to earn my living, but in a way in which, you know, just like being curious, why is it like this? So having this sense of curiosity can maybe have a supportive sense of play or experimentation. What happens if I do this? What happens if I don't do that? In a way that also kind of counteracts any sense of passivity or a sense of it's completely out of my control. Instead, to what happens if I rest my attention, even if it's on the breath, in a way that emphasizes the exhale? Does that make a difference? What happens if I emphasize, if I'm noticing the breath, but with a sense of warm-heartedness and kindness? How does the experience unfold then? Not that we, again, I keep on saying this, but that we don't, the precise answer may not be what's important. It's more the stance. So having a sense of questioning or investigation can also bring a little bit of, or maybe even a lot, a sense of restlessness. It can also bring a sense of, oh, wait, what is this? Oh, well, what is that? And so there, if we're going to ask questions, that implicit in that is a little bit of restlessness, maybe really subtle. And if we're going to ask bold questions, there might be even a little bit more restlessness. But I feel encouraged that restlessness is the last fetter that exists when before a person is completely awakened. And the Buddha, as he's describing his awakening experience, he was asking in questions. What is the source of this suffering? And then discovering that clinging was involved. Well, what's the source of clinging? And doing an inquiry into that and discovering that ignorance was involved. And what is ignorance? So the Buddha himself doing a lot of questioning, and what supports this? What is underlying this? So it might have a certain amount of restlessness, but it's also, restlessness might be just what's needed to help us like stay with the practice, the sense of wanting to lean in and discover, and having maybe the spirit of discovery is a way in which can really support our practice. So can we harness the energy of this restlessness to support our practice? And can we be okay with a small amount of restlessness? Which also, you know, in some ways we might interpret it as energy, and maybe sometimes we interpret it as restlessness, and notice the two and to be able to use them in a way that's supportive. And again, coming back to the idea of the Buddha's awakening and having some restlessness there, is to recognize that some breakthroughs, some big shifts in our thinking, in our experience, requires giving up some assumptions. And it can be uncomfortable to give up assumptions. So this restlessness may be what's needed for some big breakthroughs and to let go of some assumptions. And I think it was Socrates who said, the unexamined life is not worth living. And then someone else many years later said, yeah, but remember, the examined life is no bed of roses either. So I wish I could say, you know, to bring some curiosity or some investigation in your life will be fine. It'll be, you won't have any discomfort or any suffering. That's not the case. To have a human life is to have some difficulties. But it's a way in which can this be its onward leading and can lead us to more and more freedom. And so one way that can really make sure that our questions or investigating is onward leading is to have a sense of open-endedness to the questions. Kind of like how science and art, for both of these fields, we all assume that someday we will outgrow some of our current scientific thinking. That what we understand now about everything, all kind of scientific fields, we will, in the future, 100 years from now, they will have a different understanding. So we don't have this sense that, okay, we're going to have it all figured out and be done. Instead, we have this feeling like, there'll always be something more. And the same way with art. We don't have the feeling like, okay, we'll have figured out the aesthetics or the way to express ourselves, and we can stop now. Instead, in both of these fields, there's this open-ended inquiry, a way of looking, a way of peering or seeing. And certainly, when we think about some of the great artists of the last century, as Picasso and Manet, that both of them looked and looked and looked, we could say, at their paintings. And Picasso kind of did it with his cubism, with the time, what is the role of time, and how can I put this on a canvas? And Monet looking at what is the role of light, and how can I put this on a canvas? These are big breakthroughs, with a certain amount of curiosity and the willingness to kind of be with it and look. And in some ways, we might say that to question itself is a certain expression of freedom. We're demonstrating by questioning that we're not completely frozen or completely stuck or completely in the blind grip of what's happening, but we're asserting some kind of freedom to ask a question, to have this inquiry. What's going on here? So the questions to ask are some of the questions that the Buddha asked. What's going on? For us, it could also, also be, of course, what are the conditions that are supporting this current difficulty, this current suffering, this current well-being that I'm experiencing? What is being clung to? And where does the clinging come from? Is this movement towards greater freedom? These types of questions can really support us. Some questions that might be helpful to ask, but we often don't ask, is about liberation, about freedom. What is it? Not so much that we have to find the answer, but what is it possible for me, and how do I get there? What would be required? Very often our inner critic gets in the way and we don't even ask these types of questions, these big, bold questions. We might be thinking like, the questions about liberation, that's for other people, or I'm not worthy in some kind of way, or I'm hopeless, that's for everybody else, or I can't even imagine that. So we don't even entertain the possibility of asking, what does freedom mean for me? Maybe it is possible for me. What would it involve? Maybe it is possible. What would it involve? And very often we emphasize meditation. We have this meditation period before a Dharma talk, but for those of you who have been practicing in the Buddhist seen, know that there's an Eightfold Path. There's lots of different elements, many much more than just meditation, as well as the gradual training for those of you who are familiar with that. So what are some of the elements that we might bring to our practice to support our greater and greater freedom? And one, of course, can be questioning or having a sense of inquiry, having a sense of investigation. Including the question, if I'm not having a sense of inquiry, what is blocking that? What is getting in the way? What is preventing me from bringing this sense of curiosity to my experience? All aspects of experience. What's happening in my heart? What's happening in my body? What's happening in my mind? What are the beliefs I have? In a warm-hearted, gentle way, have this spirit of discovery as a way that can support our movement towards greater and greater freedom. And then as we discover greater and greater freedom, maybe indirectly or directly, we might be able to support more and more people, more and more beings. Maybe our capacity increases to be with the difficulties. That's part of this human experience. So may our practice of inquiry, may our spirit of discovery, may our curiosity to all aspects of our experience, may it be a support for us and for all beings everywhere. Thank you.